The 2009 Weapon System Acquisition Reform Act, or WASARA, came during a particularly bleak time for the defense acquisition apparatus. The year before, half of all the Pentagon's major weapon systems had grown in cost so much that they breached the so-called Nunn-McCurdy guidelines. On average, the programs exceeded their original cost estimates by 30% and took 2 years longer to deliver than they were supposed to. In 2013, though, there were zero Nunn-McCurdy breaches, and the Government Accountability Office says 50 out of 80 of DOD's major programs actually reduced their costs, and 64% of them were able to find ways to buy more capability without additional funding. Michael Sullivan, GAO's Director for Acquisition and Sourcing Management, says there are several factors that appear to have led to the change in those particular metrics. Some of them were internal decisions under the department's Better Buying Power program, but many of the changes were exactly what Congress directed under WASARA, making sure DOD doesn't obligate billions of dollars toward a program without an upfront understanding of what's actually achievable.
We have three points of knowledge that we think are the essential kind of waypoints. The first one is at the beginning of a program, and we want mature technologies. The department has done a lot better over the years in getting to the levels of mature technologies that we've asked for. Not perfect yet, but the trend is way up. So we would say there's good effort going on there. The second one is at the critical design review, when ideally what we would like to see is reliability being worked on, prototypes that have been engineered, so that you know when you move from design to manufacturing that you have a very stable design that you're going to begin to replicate. And I would say that the department right now, we have a metric for that on completed engineering drawings, and they're doing very well with that as well. Not perfect, but way up from where they were, say, 5 years ago.
But Sullivan says DOD still hasn't made much progress toward what GAO calls the third knowledge point, creating effective process controls before a program transitions into large-scale production.
As they move into production, their key manufacturing processes that you want to have repeatable so that you have quality as well as efficiency, they really don't have a lot of control over those critical processes. That's the one, that last knowledge point that we talk about is where they need to improve, and that's essentially a production-oriented.
History has shown that it takes many years before any government acquisition reform effort takes hold, or doesn't, and Sullivan stressed that it's still too far early to know whether DOD has truly turned a corner on cost overruns since WASARA. Last year, 42% of DOD's programs were still more expensive than the department advertised them to be at their outset. Frank Kendall, the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Logistics, and Technology, says DOD has taken WASARA's basic intent to heart by insisting that its managers don't enter into programs before they can demonstrate they'll be affordable over their entire life cycles. But he also suggested lawmakers should resist the urge to tackle the persistent problem of cost overruns through yet another legislative reform effort.
I spent most of my professional life in defense acquisition, either on the government side or in industry, a period of over 40 years. During that time, I've seen any number of attempts to improve defense acquisition. My view is that many of the things we have tried have had little discernible impact. The evidence, in terms of major program costs and schedule slips, shows very little statistical change over the years. I'm tempted to draw three conclusions from that fact. The first is that fixing defense acquisition isn't as easy as a lot of people seem to think it is. The second conclusion I'm tempted to draw is that maybe we've been changing the wrong things. Defense acquisition is a human endeavor. In my view is that we have focused too much on organizational structures, processes, and oversight mechanisms, and not enough on providing people with the skills and the incentives they need to be successful. The third possibility is we have not been patient enough or sufficiently tenacious with the acquisition policies that we have tried to leave, and we have tried to leave them in place long enough to find out whether they really work or not. The frequent rotation of leadership, particularly political appointees and career military people, makes it harder to sustain a given initiative.
Leadership changes at the top of the acquisition system are indeed very frequent. Since Kendall's position was first created in 1986, the average tenure of the undersecretary has been 22 months. Kendall says he plans to stick it out through at least the end of the Obama administration, but he says constant turnover at lower levels of the acquisition chain is a big problem, too. Take the case of the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, the largest military acquisition program ever. Over that program's 11-year life, it has had 6 different program managers so far. The staff changes in that and other programs didn't necessarily happen because of poor performance, but because that's how the military personnel system works. Officers are expected to change billets every few years on their way to, hopefully, another promotion.
In many cases, program managers will come in, they'll have a few years with a program, and their culminating event is a decision point, one of the milestone approvals. And the definition of success is to get the decision made. I'm trying to turn that around so that people come in shortly before the decision. They have to have some responsibility for the plan that's proposed, but their real job is to execute that plan, to go out and make that plan a reality, which I think is a much, much harder job than actually getting a decision made by somebody. The other thing is, of course, we have a fairly steep promotion pyramid at the colonel level, at the captain level in the Navy. And people that are our number one, our ACAT 1 program managers, are often forced out of the service because they're not promoted at that level. I'm working with the services on a way to try to keep those people around. I hate to see some of our very best program managers, people who have over a career built up the capability to do that very difficult job extremely well, because they don't make it to 06 because the curve, the narrowness is too tight, be forced to retire. They go out to industry and they do similar jobs in industry. We'd like to be able to keep those people around longer. The other thing we can do is use more career civilians. Career civilians don't move as often. The problem we have there is giving them developmental opportunities, because career civilians often don't like to move, and many times you need to move them to another location so they can get the experience they need to develop the skills that they need. So we're very actively interested in improving this area. I think people matter. I've said that 1,000 times.
Using civil servants to fill those program management roles is another option, Kendall says. But he says senior-level members of the civilian workforce are already stretched thin as it is, and many of them are leaving government service altogether. 50% of the civilian acquisition workforce is nearing retirement eligibility, and the pace of actual retirements has picked up in the wake of sequestration and government furloughs.
We are paying attention to the workforce. It is a critical feature, I think, beyond everything else that we can do. The capability of our government people, our professionals, to oversee contracts, to get the business deal right, to understand the risk, to ensure the contractors are complying is central to our success. And what we've been doing to our workforce, frankly, really pushes us in the opposite direction. Salary freezes, shutdowns, furloughs, uncertainty about budgets, uncertainty about people's jobs is making government service today very different than it's been traditionally. And I think we have a real problem with our workforce. We also have a demographic problem. The workforce is like a two-humped camel shape, and we have a lot of people who are either at retirement age or very close to it who are going to be exiting our workforce. They're our most experienced people. Then we have a big valley before a lot of the people we brought in, you know, need to mature and gain experience. So we're trying to manage our way through that, but it's a fundamental problem for the department.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.